listener production.
Yes, hello and welcome to Footy Talk for your Thursday. Footy Talk, of course, is your place for the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. And it wouldn't be a Thursday without my good mate across the table, Heath Shaw, joining me. Heater, welcome.
Thanks, Daisy. And you know what?
No.
It seems like I'm going to be a regular now.
I think
this is might be our show on the Thursday, which is good.
See the carpet?
Yeah.
You're now part of the fabric of
Beautiful.
This show.
Is it red carpet?
No, it's not. We'd lose you and your hair and your
freckles
in and amongst that. Hey, the biggest talking point of the week is suspensions and Peter Wright getting 4 weeks after hoping for three after a footballing collision with Harry Cunningham. Your take on that and where to from here?
It's a real tough one because if he wants to be declared soft, being, 7 foot tall and the 5 foot midget standing in the hole in front of him, he just stops and lets him sort of go through and mark it. But if you do what you're a key forward and you're supposed to do, you're supposed to go through and make a contest of it, which he did. It's the old theory, but if he keeps his hands up,
yeah, but
then he probably gets away with it. But yeah, honestly, it's a real tough one. But 4 weeks, again, it's like we wanted these players playing. We don't want them on the sidelines. And the Max King,
He got a week.
There's another one out. Like, that's another key forward out. And it could – like, it could cost Essendon potentially a final spot because he is pretty vital.
Absolutely. He's a leading goal kicker last season or the season before. Did he have lots of injuries last year? Anyway, one of them. He's a vital part. Do you think now we're just going to get to the point where except – players pulling out of contests? It used to be the most frowned upon thing in the game is if you were to go back and the old phrase, it's your turn to go for the side, you had to. Whereas now I think we're just going to accept, oh, well, he didn't get 4 weeks suspension, so that was a good decision.
Yeah, I reckon the coaches would be pretty happy with that. Like usually you get the Monday morning meeting. If he didn't go back with the flight or he didn't crunch the defender who sat in the hole, then you would cop it. But now it's like we don't want you missing week, so just stop.
Yep.
Or just give him a cuddle. I don't know. What else are you going to do? Because that was like a split-second decision, and we spoke about it last week. AFL players make thousands of decisions during a game. That was one of them. He might have got it wrong just by not putting his hands up, but it's cost him 4 weeks, and it shouldn't cost you 4 weeks.
Is this going to be an ongoing thing regardless? And I think now this has become pretty clear. If you make any contact, whether it be incidental, accidental, with the player in the head, you are going to get, 1 week Max King got, and that was the slightest of glancing blows. Do you think this is just where it is? If you make any contact with a player above the shoulders, you are getting week suspension.
Yeah, 100%. Even if Cunningham got up, he probably gets two. If he's not concussed and he gets up straight away, he probably still gets two. But, yeah, I don't know.
It's got confusing to this point. Do we have to allow Brownlow medalists to still win if they've been suspended? Because it's so easy to be suspended
like
now.
Like the NRL, what do they do? They just deduct you a few votes.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because if this is evolving as it is and so quickly, I think we need to catch up. If you're a Brownlow medalist and you clip someone like Max King and you get a week, but you're still good enough to win the Brownlow.
There's so many variables for you to lose the Brownlow. You get suspended.
It almost could be Stephen Bradbury.
You get injured. Yeah, there's plenty now. It's
first 10 blokes are all ineligible because they've got a week.
Imagine that, but honestly, that's like a pretty smart point. Imagine the top 10 vote getters at the Brownlow have all been suspended and ineligible, and you're number 11.
Yeah,
you'd be wrapped, wouldn't you? Do you reckon you're like, I'm the best player in the league? I don't think so. You're the 11th best.
But that's going to have to happen, surely.
I hope it happens this year because then they're going to have to change the rule.
Yeah.
I hope the top five are all suspended and they get a week and then number six just slides in Bradbury style and Bradbury presents him with the Brownlow.
So that would have meant last year maybe Errol Goulden or someone. Did he
finish third?
Did he?
Yeah.
Let's quickly.
Toby Green was up there.
Hey,
just
Siri,
quietly.
What were the 2023 Brownlow medal finishing in order? Here we go. Somehow Siri got to the bottom of that. That's pretty good.
You've done it before. Figured you out. AI.
AI's got me covered. Lockie Neal, he won. Very good. Lachie Neagh, Errol Goulden. So he and Zach Butters finished tied fourth.
Yeah.
Or Christian Petrarca would have won it on 26 votes.
Fifth.
Who
was after that? Bont. Was Bont down there a little bit? Or did he finish second? Yeah, he was second. Right. Yeah, he nearly won it, yeah. Let's just hope that happens, Dale, and then we'll have to change the rule. We're forward thinking here. They're going to have to think about this now, the AFL, when they listen to this.
And I think, from what I can recall, we're the first persons who have put this out there. And I'll actually put my hand up and say it was my idea that I thought of 5 seconds ago.
It actually was, and I quickly picked up on it.
Yes.
Dale, that's
actually
so
therefore,
a good idea.
The Brownlow should be named the Shaw Thomas Medal ongoing.
I reckon we should present it if the top five who are in betting
yep.
and then they get eliminated, then we should actually get to present it because we came up with the idea or we figured this was going to happen. We saw into the future.
We did. We are absolute geniuses. A big game this weekend for Tom Hawkins, 350 games. That's a lot of Saturdays dedicated to chasing a ball around. How many did you get to?
325.
If you weren't suspended, how many would you have got?
Would have got 350.
350.
Yeah.
Tom Hawkins, have a listen to this for a resume. 3 times Premiership player, Coleman Medal, Kaji Greaves Medal, 5-time All-Australian, 11-time Geelong leading goal kicker. He's currently second on the most games played list behind Joel Selwood. Only 5 more to get. He is or has been a superstar of the competition, but also the Geelong Footy Club. And I love the fact that he was questioned a couple of years ago whether he's going to go on. Whether he was good enough to go on, and now he's still playing some great football at the ripe old age of mid-30s.
I just love the fact that he's a genuine key forward who just stays inside 50 and he doesn't move. That's why he's played 350-odd games.
He's a farmer.
Who loves just standing inside. He goes, you know what, he's figured it out. Oh, he ventures outside 50, maybe he gets to 60 a couple of times.
If he's coming for a rotation.
Yeah, maybe. But he's like, I can't kick a goal from – it's like netball. You can't score from outside the semicircle. So he's like, I'm going to stand near the goals and I'm just going to do what I do best. And he said it in his press conference the other day. He said, I just figured out what I was good at and I know what I'm good at and I just kept on working on that every single day and made that the key to my game and the key to playing so many games, kicking so many goals, all Australians. And he's done most of his all Australians in his 30s.
Yeah, late age.
So – good on him.
Is he up there in the conversation for best forward ever? Gary Ablett Senior?
No.
Better? He'd be number two. Who else?
Oh, at Geelong.
Yeah, at Geelong, sorry.
I thought he meant ever.
No, not
yeah, at Geelong, definitely. Yeah. He'd be near level peggings, wouldn't he?
Oh, I would think so. Obviously a different era and Gary Ablett kicked a lot of goals in seasons, 100 plus a few times, but yeah. How many times have we seen 100 kicked in this modern day?
No,
Very few.
It's different generations.
It is. If he gets to 355, should he have a new stand named after him if they do change and decide to?
Nah, they should take it off Joel. They should take it off him.
Just remove it.
Yeah, just put a line through and then just put his one underneath.
356, just get the wide out.
100%. That's how it works.
That is. You're either the best or you're not.
He's done all that. He wasn't captain.
Now, before we get to the big game tonight, we, of course, will look forward to Good Friday football as well, the public holiday. But it is now North Melbourne taking on Carlton. Now, North's record in this game, as we know, well, their record in general has been pretty poor, but they've been smacked a couple of times in this fixture. Do you give them any hope?
Against Carlton?
Yeah.
I actually don't mind the way they're going about it, North, at the moment. They're a bit more aggressive with their ball movement, which is good, but you can get exposed the other way. And I think a team like Carlton, who's pretty solid in the back half, will expose them going the other way. So
Carlton off a bye, though, is that?
No, that'll be right.
That would have been good.
They'll be okay. They might get some key names back too, which is good. But, like, you know what? You've got to give North some love. Like, they need – just leave them on Good Friday. It's okay.
Just leave them there.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
Hopefully everyone –
at some point they'll come good.
Well, they will. You'd hope so. And they do have the nucleus now of some good players down there, especially in that halfback line. Sheasel, he's a superstar. Wardlaw. They've got some players who are coming on.
Mate, Larky's underrated.
Larky's one of the best forwards in the game.
Yeah.
All Australian last year.
He kicked 70-odd goals last year.
In a side that kicked 80 for
– That's an amazing effort.
And I apologise to all the North fans who've just said, you smart ass. Carlton in that one, comfortably?
Yeah.
If you can get along, of course, it will be the Good Friday appeal as well. So if you can donate, please do so. Hey, we'll take a break, but after this, we are going to look forward to tonight's massive game between the Brisbane Lions and the Pies at the Gabatoir. This is the Footy Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Footy Talk podcast. Tonight it is Thursday, which means Thursday Night Footy. You can catch that all on Triple M Footy and on the Listener app. Now, Heath, this is one of the biggest games of the season, and it's round three.
It would.
Ready? Collingwood are a chance to go 0-4 in round three. Make sense of that.
Yeah, well, it would have been the biggest game of the year because even if they both teams hadn't lost a game.
Yes.
But they've gone the complete opposite way to make things interesting. So, I'd say 0-4 is not ideal.
Can't play finals if 0-4. Are you bold enough to say that? Because I am.
It's very hard. I think Sydney was zipping 3 last year and they played finals, but they went on like an 11-game streak. I just think Collingwood, they just need a key forward that can present, and then Mychek can get the second best defender and then makes life easier for him.
Dan McStay has proven to be a massive out. We didn't really understand when the Pies went. Well, he's the one though. When he plays, they play differently.
Yeah, I get it. But the way they're actually playing at the moment, Dan McStay won't help.
It doesn't matter if you have Wayne Carey up there. Is that what we're getting at?
Exactly. they're just off the boil. I think Dacos, if he goes back to halfback, will give him a bit more, better drive out of the back line. They won't be turning it over in back 50 and the ball going straight back over their heads for a goal. So that would be one thing that I would advise for them. But I still think they're a sneaky.
I think they're a massive show because everyone's talking obviously about the Pies, but Brisbane too, like a zipping two, which they, three, will soon be, they have been poor. They've been very poor.
The concerning part for me is Brisbane's firepower up forward versus Collingwood's defence.
Which hasn't really been there.
No, and Brisbane have scored. And the thing with Brisbane, I think they've got one of the most dangerous forward lines in the comp, along with probably like Geelong. Because every single one of those players in that forward line can kick 5 goals on the day.
Joe Danaher, Eric Hipwood, Charlie Cameron, Link McCarthy, Zach Bailey.
And they all have.
Hughes got luggage.
So, Roger Merritt.
Danny Dickfoss.
That's what I love about that forward line is like anyone can kick 5 and they have in the past. And that's why Collingwood have to be really, really organised and settled down back because someone could get a hold of them.
Well, you only have to look to round zero when Jesse Hogan kicked 4, Little Daniels kicked 4, and Callum Brown kicked 5. So a reason for winning and a tip if you could please.
I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go Brisbane because I reckon they'll kick more goals.
you've just talked yourself out of it.
Yeah, I just did then, right then.
I honestly think for the Pies, they will win this one. I've just got this backs to the wall, almost a free hit. And I know that probably sounds a bit weird because if they lose, they're done.
Travel together.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Yeah. You know, we've been playing bad. It's not as bad as it seems.
Let's get together.
GWS and Sydney are the form teams of the comp.
They are.
They're a 5-goal better team than anyone at the moment.
St Kilda will be probably the most improved.
Correct.
The way they went about things.
And for how bad Collingwood were last Thursday, I think it was, they almost got
15 points.
Yeah, 15 points. And at one stage, it looked like they were starting to get their mojo back.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, it'd be a good game.
Okay. What are you up to for Easter?
I'm actually going to Adelaide.
Great.
For Easter.
Nice. Yeah. Are you staying on for Gather Round?
I'm staying on for your fight.
Oh, next Wednesday night.
I'm not staying for Gather
Adelaide
Round.
Adelaide 36
Arena. I knew there was
some
reason why I was staying. Wednesday. Yeah, I've got a function on the Tuesday night. Okay. That's sort of why I'm going over. And then Wednesday, you're fighting the great Dane Swan. So I thought, you know what?
Boxing match. Professional debuts.
And I will be in.
Who do you think wins?
I don't know whose corner. I actually have no idea. I might stand in the middle.
Who do you think wins?
I reckon Dane will flog you, to be honest.
I got the same feeling.
Yeah.
Which isn't ideal.
No, but I think it's, you never know. That's what's good about boxing, but I reckon your back's up against the wall, to be brutally honest. But you're looking fit.
Thank you.
It's going to be a good show. There's some serious fights on there there's probably some not so serious fights.
Everybody, of course, looking forward to the Kane Corns Nathan Brown matchup. Nathan Brown has more pressure on him than anyone in the world on that day.
I know Kane has been training hard. Yeah. Has
Yeah, Nathan's been training hard because he understands the predicament he's in if he loses.
So he probably wasn't at the start, and now he's just like, I've got to lift
my
game.
I've got to lift. Yeah. Yes.
He's got some advice from Rocky.
Mm. All right. Well, thank you very much. This has been the Footy Talk Podcast. Have yourselves a wonderful Easter. If you are heading away, of course, please drive safely. Look after yourselves. Enjoy some chocolate. Mainly do that responsibly. And we'll be back next week to do it all again. This has been the Footy Talk Podcast. Listener.